Today on Seculo, we have breaking news as Tom Homan takes command in Minnesota.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host.
Hey, if you have missed seeing us these past few days, the Southeast was hit with a historic ice storm and it went all the way up. I know there were blizzard conditions in the Northeast. And so we are just now getting back into our studio. Many in this area remain without power. So be praying for those that are without power and in very cold temperatures. But we are back in studio today. Also, bear with us as our infrastructure is a little taxed by this storm. If you see any hiccups, we're working through it and doing our best. But I'm joined by Logan today, and we are talking about the situation in Minnesota. Many of you saw another ICE-related shooting that happened over the weekend. And now we are at a point where it seems what Logan had been calling for, I had been calling for, and many have been, is that the leaders who are at the end of the day responsible for all of this on both sides are seeming to sit down. We know that the Border Patrol commander, Greg Bovino, has departed Minnesota, and now that command is being taken over by Tom Homan, the border czar, who had been absent from this conversation for a while. But Logan, we're seeing both the mayor of Minneapolis as well as the governor, Tim Walz, have spoken with the president. They are saying things like, we are on the same wavelength, as well as seeing productive conversations with Tom Homan, the border czar. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, and make sure you keep me updated on time, because obviously I don't have a time clock in front of me. If you're watching right now, you obviously know that I'm not in studio. My wife is a weather forecaster, and she said, we got to get out of Nashville. And she was right. But our home in Nashville currently is without power. So we are, I guess you'd say, quote unquote, stuck in Florida. I'm not complaining about it right now. Obviously, our prayers with all of our friends there. But as of right now, it's still, you know, freezing temperatures there. But you're right. This is something that we have been calling for since the very beginning, when the ICE raids started happening, and then everything that was happening, that dark cloud that I said was hanging over Minnesota. I said what we needed to do was get President Trump, Tim Walz, whoever it was, the mayor, to actually do their job, get in a room and meet together. This is no longer partisan. I think maybe that red line got passed with this last death that happened on the streets of Minneapolis. Now, again, of course, people are going to be highly polarized. They're going to have a lot of questions and a lot of reasons. But of course, you actually saw for the first time, maybe even some of those that were more on the conservative side say, you can't be going out and saying because someone has a weapon that they are, in fact, a criminal before those crimes took place and deserved somehow to die. I think that this is a moment of reflection for a lot of people in the conservative movement. And I think President Trump knows it. And I think he sees it himself. Why else would he be meeting with people who he essentially has called his enemy very, very many times, including the governor of Minnesota, who, of course, was running against him as vice president last go round. So this is not, you know, people that are friendly necessarily with each other, but he can read the room. He can see this getting chaotic. We know that they have called to de-escalate what's happening on the streets. And we think that that's a good moment, hopefully, to see some sort of bipartisan action. And look, I know in the chat, I'm going to see a lot of people disagreeing with me, and that's okay. But I've been calling from this from the very beginning that the only way for this to calm down is to actually have rational thought take precedent over partisan politics. And here we are. And I'm hoping this is a moment where this can happen before things get even worse. So right now, I'm going to encourage you. I know a lot of you disagree with me, but give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be taking your calls today. Of course, Will's in the studio. I'm here on location, I guess you'd say, remote. But we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. Will.
That's right. And we're going to get into some of these statements that were put out both on X as well as on Truth Social from the president, from the mayor of Minneapolis, and from the governor of Minnesota. We will be coming back to you in just a few moments here with more of this. Stick around, like the video, subscribe, leave a comment where you're watching from. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. As I mentioned, we are here in studio, first day this week due to an historic ice storm that hit the southeast and much of the east coast of the U.S. We are having a few technical difficulties as well because of power outages, things of that, and infrastructure. So bear with us. We are doing great here and glad to be back with you. But Logan, we're talking about what's going on with the shift in tone. And this comes after another death of an American citizen at the hands of ICE in a confrontation. There are two sides of the story. That's not really what we're getting into at this point, but it is something that we predicted would happen. After the first shooting, we said, if it continues to escalate, more Americans will die because of confrontation with law enforcement. It's not even putting a blame on either one. People are making choices to be in the face of law enforcement, and law enforcement are on heightened alert because of you see death threats online at these individual agents. You see them being doxxed. You hear calls to murder ICE agents by Americans. The whole situation was reaching, it had already reached a boiling point. It was at the point of no return, and we saw another death of an American citizen because of all this. It finally looks like leaders are thinking we have to do something, and that's what you're seeing from the president and the leaders in Minnesota now.
Yeah, and I think that is it's time, and I think it has been time since the very beginning. I think President Trump's style of diplomacy, if you will, his politicking works on certain levels. When it comes to civil unrest, when it comes to Americans getting killed in the streets, there is a time, and I would say the same to Tim Walz, there's a time where all of this bloviating, all of this, you know, built up posts on X or on Truth Social that go back and forth and back and forth and amplify hate, amplify anger over and over and over again. Eventually, this is what happens. And you may say that, you know, you've seen a video that maybe is different than the version we've seen. I feel like we all get served what we want to see. But at the end of the day, two American citizens have been shot and killed by officers that were on duty as ICE officers. And I don't know a lot of information, I'll say, about who these officers were. But I do think we need to really take a look at what kind of training they're going through. You even have organizations like the NRA saying, you know, I think what Kristi Noem said, is improper because she was essentially saying in one of those quotes, well, he brought a gun to a protest. Well, I'm pretty sure that a lot of you remember everything that's gone on the last few years. And there have been plenty of people who have been lauded and celebrated on the conservative side for doing just the same thing. And they were not murdered in the streets. I think you can go back and forth over I don't think there's a right in this. I think you have people who are the ICE officers who may be doing what they've been told to do, but maybe need more training on how this goes on. You have agitators who are being aggravated by their state leaders. And now we are at the point, like Will said, where it felt like the point of no return. And I actually don't know if I agree with this point of no return. I think this is the point that maybe we had to get to. And I hate that we had to get to this point where it had to be bloodshed of American citizens to get to this point. But maybe that's what had to happen. You can go back and see all of the times throughout history where the Democrats did not stand up for conservatives that were shot also or murdered in the streets. That happened many, many times. But that doesn't mean it should work the other way. I have always been the person who's preached the fact that we don't always have to play by the same handbook. And if the same playbook says that we should be celebrating or defending people who are getting killed, that's just not the way it goes. And I like the fact that you have President Trump and Governor Walz actually doing what I feel like is the job of the president and of state leaders and working together to figure out what this crisis is on the streets, whether you agree with the crisis or not. I think there's a lot of people that say, hey, I don't disagree that ICE should exist. I'm not a person saying abolish ICE. That's not my MO. I think there's also people going, there's a difference between border security, which I think honestly, the left did not feel that way over the last 4 years. But I think a lot of people, normal human beings, felt there should be some changes to border security. And what we're seeing in the streets of a lot of our states, but specifically in Minnesota. And look, I don't point the blame at anyone specifically. I point the blame at the fact that our state and local leaders decided to make this more politics and less about humanity. And I do think there is a Christian side to this, a humanitarian side to this, where this can be done, where you can have people who are not supposed to be here removed from the United States without it turning in to chaos in the streets. Because we saw it happen successfully, maybe not to the right, definitely not during Biden, but during President Bush, during the first Trump years, during even President Obama, a lot of deportations happening. And you didn't see this on the streets.
Logan, and I think one thing, and I want to get into some of these statements that were put out by the mayor, by the governor, by the president, by Tom Homan himself. But I think what you've got here is a situation, and this is something that you and I were concerned about and that we've talked about a lot, is that, you know, it wasn't as if the people calling to resist ICE and to get out in the streets were community organizers or liberal activist. It was the governor of the state himself that was labeling the federal law enforcement officers as the Gestapo, as fascists, and making that rhetoric amplified. But then not just saying, I will nationalize I will deploy the National Guard. I will deploy the state police. I will deal with this. It was, in fact, him that was telling his own citizens to get out there and do that. That is weaponizing your own constituents, weaponizing and putting in harm's way your people. It's one thing if saying, I applaud those that are speaking out, but he was continuing to push this. There's also stuff that have come out about this Signal chat where there were thousands of people, including people high up in his administration, coordinating a lot of these activities, not with officials of the state, but with citizens themselves. And I think some of that responsibility falls on these leaders that are willing to put their citizens in harm's way and use them as a political pawn. And that's what we've seen quite a bit here. We've seen the usage of the citizens as political pawns, and that has led to the death of two Americans.
Yeah, and I think at this point, there was even a lot of references to Nazis, to Anne Frank, that people would be reading about this the same way they read about Anne Frank. And there are moments that I feel like you can talk about these kind of things. Whenever you start invoking Holocaust-type rhetoric, though, I think a lot of people, specifically in the Jewish community, start to back up a little bit and go, okay, hold on. This is not the same thing. Anne Frank was, in fact, a citizen of the country who was being targeted because of her ethnic background / religious beliefs. And you start talking about Anne Frank in that situation, and it becomes more and more hostile. I mean, it was Holocaust Remembrance Day yesterday. We even had people on the conservative right and look high up that seemed to be afraid to use words like Jewish or talk about the importance of Israel. We're still dealing with a lot of that in today's society. And what I'd like to hear from you, Will, is there seems to be, and look, I'm here out of state right now, and I'm listening to a lot of local radio or local television. There seems to be a breath of fresh air from Tom Homan, that Tom Homan is who people are celebrating right now as potentially the savior in this situation. And I don't think any of us really predicted that, but I guess it's because he has a history of working with other administrations.
Well, and I think, Logan, that's the problem. The left demonized Tom Homan when he was brought on as border czar because he's a serious official. And he had a long career working with Border Patrol, with the Department of Homeland Security, and had even gotten awards under previous administrations like Barack Obama for his work. But because he worked with President Trump, he was demonized. But now all of a sudden, he's like the peacemaker. He's the broker of this. But this is a post he put out on X that says, "Today I met with Governor Walz, Mayor Fry, and the top law enforcement officials to discuss the situations, the issues on the ground in Minnesota. We all agree that we need to support our law enforcement officers and get criminals off the streets. While we don't agree on everything, these meetings were a productive starting point, and I look forward to more conversations with key stakeholders in the days ahead. President Trump has been clear. He wants American cities to be safe and secure for law-abiding residents, and they will be." And Logan, we've only got about 50 seconds here left, so I'll take us to the break. But once again, that is what we are seeing out of serious leaders like Tom Homan, someone that was demonized by the left as being a radical for wanting to control the border. And you see that statement is not something far-fetched. You're also seeing the mayor himself saying that he and the chief of police met with border czar Homan and had a productive conversation. Because once again, when you do sit down and realize that the federal government has authority to do things and the state has the ability to not get in the way and make this chaos where citizens die, then you start to see a different story. And it was all done for political games in Minnesota. So we will get into more of this when we get back, but I think it is revealing, as Logan said, that Tom Homan is now the voice of reason here. We'll be right back on Seculo.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo, and we will get into more of this as well, this new revelation that we're seeing, Tom Homan being put into the leadership role with the situation in Minnesota with Operation Metro Surge, his meetings with both the mayor of Minneapolis as well as the governor and the chief of police there. But I did also want to bring your attention to something else that the ACLJ is working on. And Logan, this is a case and a story that we talked about and then got a lot of attention in the news about the student in Kansas that was reprimanded for putting as a hero Charlie Kirk or President Trump, and others had were in this class and witnessed all this unfold, and where then the teacher instructed the student, those aren't heroes. And so, one, it was limiting the free speech of the client, but as well as they set in rules that it couldn't be a religious figure or a political figure, but then they had other controversial figures that were put on the whiteboard as well that were fine. So this was a clear case of viewpoint discrimination. Our attorneys are representing this family in Kansas, and we have filed federal complaints with the Department of Justice. So outside of even the court system, a direct discrimination complaint with the DOJ as well as the Department of Education on this issue. But it got a lot of press, and the state legislature is now wanting to do something about this as well. The legislature is holding hearings in Kansas on this very issue on a new bill. And this bill would initiate in the Kansas Senate. It says an act concerning education related to student expression, enacting the Safeguarding Personal Expression at K through 12 Schools Act, authorizing students to engage in protected speech or expression, providing limitations for such speech or expression, and providing a civil cause of action for violations of the act. So giving a pathway for remedy within the state court system. But Logan, also our clients will be testifying before the Kansas legislature on February 3rd, and our attorneys will be going there as well to tell the story of what happened to them and how a bill like this could protect not just our client, but every student in Kansas from viewpoint discrimination and silencing of their free speech.
Yeah. I mean, it's been sort of the bread and butter of the ACLJ for a very long, long time, which is making sure students have the right to speak their mind and say what they believe, of course, within some constraints. But when the school specifically said, they didn't put in that rule saying no politics, no religious figures. And look, sometimes that happens. Even the school my kids go to, occasionally we'll get an email saying, hey, no political t-shirts today, you know, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with saying, you know what, we don't always have to try to have some sort of, you know, disagreement. But when you left it open to everyone, and then specifically a teacher decides who she gets to, or he or he gets to decide who is a hero and who is not, that is where the ACLJ can step in. And of course, when you're talking about a president of the United States or a sadly assassinated political figure, if you will, a political commentator with Charlie Kirk, at this moment, you may disagree with the views of President Trump. You may disagree with the views of Charlie Kirk. But you can't tell me they would probably be doing the same for Barack Obama or previous presidents or previous commentators who were slain for their beliefs, which, of course, sadly, America has a lot of those. This is not something the ACLJ takes lightly. Our team is able to jump at it. What I love about it is the fact that we do have a team all over the country. So, of course, when some states, including our media center, which is just able to open up today, and me, who is not able to even get there right now, are maybe temporarily closed or having some issues, we have ACLJ attorneys and staff all over the country ready to work, and they never stop. And, of course, that is because people like you support the work at ACLJ.org. And support the rights of those students at ACLJ.org. You can make a donation. You can support the work. Of course, there's a lot of different ways, a lot of great free information there, nothing behind a paywall. I do want to encourage you right now, if you are watching, usually we take phone calls, but of course, as Will said, there have been some technical difficulties. So later in the show, I would love to hear from you, even if you're watching on YouTube or on Rumble, and I'll have our social media team and usually the people who screen the phone calls go through our YouTube and Rumble and look at questions that come in. Maybe start your post with question, big caps, question, so they can sort through them. And we'll pick a few out and we'll try to have them on the air and maybe put your first name as well. That would be great, because we still would love to answer your questions, because I know a lot of you are tuning in, not just because obviously the work of the ACLJ is very important. We're always going to talk about that. And if some of you say, you know, you watch this for the news, and that's fine, we'll give you the commentary. We told you this was going to happen. It was going to get more and more heated. And I told you what I thought the solution was, which was for President Trump and for people like Tim Walz to put their partisan politics aside for a few minutes, as hard as it is, because I know they've been nasty to each other and they've said things that are egregious on both sides. Let's just be honest, on both sides, stuff that if it was said about you, you probably would not want to be friends with that person. But this is not about being friendship. This is about diplomacy. This is about politics, or not about politics. This is about making sure our country is safe. So I'm happy they're doing this, but it has been weird to watch the coverage of all of this as we've been a little disconnected with the winter storms that obviously wrecked the Nashville area, destroyed the Nashville area, really. And again, I have not been able to get into the studio. I've not been able to leave where I'm at right now. And it's been crazy. But I'm able to watch television coverage and listen to local coverage. And one of the things Will and I were talking about was this sort of savior of Tom Homan coming in, replacing some of the voices that we've heard. And Will, that's also one of the things too, is that not only Tom Homan is coming in, it seems like there's going to be changes on the ground as well in terms of who is going to be talking to the press and who is going to be talking specifically to the governor and to the mayor.
Well, that's right. As we talked about with Tom Homan being the individual that seems to be interfacing with the leadership there, but they have also, it says that they have agreed that some federal agents will begin leaving the area. So I feel like what we're going to see is maybe a de-escalation with the folks that are coordinating, that are on the ground, that are I mean, when you read about even the signal chat and the level of sophistication it comes to how they were tracking ICE.
Can we talk about that? Because that is actually something that I have not heard that has not really come upon my news feed here. Tell people who don't know, what is the signal chat?
So there's this signal chat that was infiltrated by some individuals that were journalists and have been reporting on it. But what it effectively was is using the encrypted messaging, and we've only got about a minute and a half here, so we'll get into it as well. But this journalist got in there and saw how there were databases and coordinated, sophisticated methods of tracking when they found license plates they believe were belonging to federal agents. They could put it in there. They could list areas where there was going to be surging. They could surge resources. And by resources, I mean agitators, to get to those areas as quickly as possible. There were instructions on how to disrupt, how to make a commotion and things of that nature. And the FBI is now saying that they are investigating this. And we can even bring it up as well, because there were some high-level officials within the Walz administration that were a part of this, what appeared to be a part of this. Many people were going by pseudonyms in this chat as well. But it also reveals that narrative. This isn't just organic protesting, which people on the right have been saying for a long time. This isn't just organic free speech activity. Not saying that coordinated free speech isn't also protected, but you have to start seeing what was take place, how this was operating, because it was highly sophisticated operation at disrupting federal law enforcement. We'll get back to that in the next segments ahead.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo, second half hour, and it looks like we may have some phones working. So, Logan, we should be able to get some phone calls here. So 1-800-684-3110 if you are wanting to be on the air. This is, as I mentioned, we are getting through this ice storm here in the south. It looks, as I was able to get out into the area and see videos, it appears as if a tornado hit the entire metropolitan area of Nashville, Tennessee. And this is the same in Mississippi, East Tennessee, West Tennessee, all the way across this area that was affected by this ice storm, because there are downed trees, downed power lines, blocked roads, people without power. And on top of that, you add sub-freezing temperatures. It really is a dangerous situation that we have seen. We've seen a lot of people that are in desperate situations. So I encourage you, pray for your fellow Americans in this part of the country receiving a historic level of ice that has coated the area and caused a lot of havoc. And also pray for law enforcement. I know they are strained, their resources are strained, and they are doing a wonderful job here in this community, helping individuals in any way they can. But just keep that on your mind. As all this other stuff is going on in the world, there's also people in America that are probably struggling even to be able to watch a YouTube broadcast about what's going on in the world. But Logan, we were talking about this signal chat. You're asking more questions about it. There was even allegations that the lieutenant governor of Minnesota was a part of this. She is pushing back at those allegations, saying they're not true. We know the FBI is looking into this, investigating it, because of the coordinated level of which this encrypted messaging was able to send things like relaying license plate information through a database, identifying suspected federal vehicles, and dispatching members to locations where they believed ICE agents were operating. This does go against kind of the narrative of even what the Governor Walz was trying to say of like, oh, we're so proud of our people for raising their voice and getting out there. Because it is, once again, what we are seeing, this coordinated dispatch of people, not just to protest, but to actually try and disrupt federal law enforcement. We saw it with a coordinated attack on that church where they tried to disrupt their service. It was getting wild in Minnesota, the way that this was unfolding, in a way that was the federal government versus this kind of insurgent style group that was using very sophisticated methods to disrupt.
Yeah, I wanted to know more about that, because honestly, I don't see that making a lot of headlines here locally where I'm at in Florida right now. I do see a lot of celebration of Tom Homan. I see a lot of conversations around that. And obviously people are covering the ice storm. And you are right, there's a lot of people, including, you know, if I was home, including people without power. So of course we are saying a prayer for all of them. Many members of our team who still are without power and have not had it since about Sunday morning. So it's been multiple days now, people trying to figure out what to do. On the other hand, you obviously have what's happening culturally, and we can't ignore that, pretend it's not happening. It's a significant event of what's happening in Minnesota. Is Rick Grinnell still joining us in the next segment?
He'll be joining us in the next segment, yes.
All right, so Rick is going to be joining us, so stay tuned for that. And then at the end of the show, you know, the segment after Rick, I want to hear from you. Allegedly, phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. And again, the work of the ACLJ doesn't stop. We got to make sure we're keeping you informed and engaged on all of this. So again, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today. 1-800-684-3110. Will, I don't have the clock in front of me, so I don't know how long we got.
I'll take it from you here. We're at 40 seconds left. But folks, also remember the work that our attorneys are doing. I said February 3rd is that hearing. It's hard to believe, because today is January 28th, but that is less than a week away that we'll be joining our clients in Kansas. And it's because of the bravery of that student and their parents to stand up for what's right and to come to an organization like the ACLJ that now we're seeing change in Kansas. Now the legislature is getting involved, not just our legal work, but we can go and our client can tell that story to hopefully protect more students. It's all because you support the work of the ACLJ. Go to aclj.org to help support us there.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Seculo. Will Haynes here. I'm joined by Rick Grinnell, and I want to say thank you to everyone for calling in, for engaging today. This is our first day back in the studio after that crippling ice storm that hit the Southeast. And I also want to remind you, phone lines are back up. So 1-800-684-3110. Thank you for being patient as we work through some of these infrastructure issues that are still ongoing in this area. But Rick, I wanted to talk about this because, one, I think it's pretty remarkable what you've seen already with how Tom Homan has now become almost like a celebrity for the left of being the voice of reason and being able to talk to one another. But he has been dispatched by the Trump administration to go and talk with Governor Walz, to talk with the mayor of Minneapolis. And you're seeing now that they have reached this kind of tipping point and are willing to speak to someone from the administration, they're saying, oh, it seems like we may not agree on everything, but we can work this out and we can de-escalate this and move forward. Ignoring the fact that their policies were what escalated it, and they're calling on their own citizens, weaponizing their own citizens against the federal government, is what got us to that in the first place. But I just wanted to see the Rick Grinnell-style diplomatic sit-down seems to be working here.
Look, we can't be afraid to talk to people that we disagree with. I think it's really important that we get back to that. In America, we've really lost the ability to talk. We go on social media and just bombard each other with statements, and nobody's really listening. I love talking to people that disagree with me. As long as everyone is calm, you wait your turn and then share what you believe. And maybe when it's not your turn and you're listening, maybe you learn something. But we got to get back to having respectful dialogue. And I think this is what President Trump just did. He called up the governor of Minnesota, or spoke to the governor of Minnesota, and was able to kind of openly share, look, what we're trying to do is remove criminals from your community. Surely you can agree with that. If you don't like the tactics of how it's unfolding, then let's talk about the tactics. But we both share the goal of removing people who are problems in society, who are creating chaos, who are making our communities unsafe. And I think Secretary Kristi Noem has done an amazing job of showing that she too is focused on the goal and just wants to be able to talk about the tactics. I find Secretary Noem to be doing a great job because she is approachable, she's calm, but she's also firm, and she's got a lot of resolve to do a very difficult job, which is enforce the law. And lastly, I'll just say, I think the Democrats have made a huge mistake because they started down this road years ago of defunding the police. Now they're trying to defund the immigration police, and it's not working for them. And I think that you see the mayor and the governor and others kind of crying uncle to say, okay, we're losing this battle. We are trying to highlight bad tactics, but we do share the goal of making our community safer.
Well, and Rick, what we've seen is this coordinated effort by groups on the ground. There's this signal chat that has been discussed and discovered about how coordinated it was to, track federal law enforcement and then dispatch disruptors and agitators to those certain places. And this isn't in a vacuum. This was encouraged by the leadership, by the mayor of Minneapolis, by the governor, where he repeatedly used the inflammatory language, calling them the Gestapo, calling them Nazis, invoking Anne Frank as if that Minnesota is the same thing as the Holocaust, and continue to build up that rhetoric. And now we're seeing that they realize that that is not the right path. It's going to keep getting worse. We have two of our constituents, two of our supporters that were killed as a result of this. And now you're starting to see them turn and start to have these conversations. Meanwhile, move to California and someone hasn't gotten the message that maybe that's not the right way forward, because the press office of Gavin Newsom, the governor there, put out last night that Gavin Newsom and the Attorney General issued a first-of-its-kind legal alert confirming state and local law enforcement have the authority to investigate crimes committed by federal agents. So one, I feel like there's a lot of constitutional issues that this is going to bring up, but trying to instead have the conversations that Tim Walz is having. This is the governor that tried to portray himself as the one who would have, you know, Charlie Kirk on his podcast, that would have these conversations, is now instead continuing the narrative that the federal agents themselves are the bad guy and that we should be looking at them investigating crimes, inferring that there are a lot of crimes they're going to uncover. I mean, what do you make of this, not reading the room?
Well, look, I think Gavin Newsom is furious that Governor Walz is getting more press coverage than he is. He is somebody who is desperate to have a microphone and a camera in front of his face. And so he's just doing whatever he can to get the attention. And what he's doing right now is buffoonery. It is not legally sound. And yet he's got the Attorney General of California saying the same thing. Look, these guys are in control in California because the media doesn't hold them to account. They're not vetted. And so they keep saying crazy things. But once they leave California and they show up, whether it's in Davos or where other media are around, not just the California media, they implode fast, because as soon as they're vetted, they come off as clowns. And so this is the latest from Gavin Newsom of just coming up to say, well, we'll investigate the feds. And it's like, well, read the Constitution. You don't get to do that. I will say that we are in a situation where when the United States Holocaust Museum Board finally comes around to condemn the language of comparing ICE officers to Nazi Germany or to Hitler or to the Gestapo. It's a really sad state of affairs. Remember, Joe Biden was doing this constantly, got away with it. The Holocaust Board never chastised him for calling his political opponents Hitler. But Kamala Harris did the same thing. But now I think the board, I've been criticizing them for being lax on this issue. And now they're coming around. They criticized Governor Waltz for his language. I hope that the Holocaust Board can come to their senses and criticize any time someone compares their political enemies to Nazi Germany.
And once again, Rick, you would have a lot of, this isn't you just speaking into the ether. You were a member of the Holocaust Museum Board. We should point out to people that you have worked in that framework and know what it takes to get things done with that. So this is also, you have worn so many hats, it's always important to point out to people that this is another place you speak from authority on because you've worked in that.
I spent years on the Holocaust Board, and I was so frustrated because, you know, they used to be very quick to condemn anyone, whether they're Republican, Democrat, or an independent. Whenever someone would compare their political opponents or anything to Nazi Germany, remember, you know, Hitler and the Nazis killed 6.5 million Jews. You should never compare that to anything. And when people do, and to be honest, in the past, a long time ago, I made the mistake, and the board, you know, came to me and said, look, you shouldn't make this comparison. Here's why. And so now I'm very sensitive to it and I watch it. But, you know, we just lived through 4 years of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris comparing Donald Trump to Hitler and Republicans to Nazis constantly. And the museum board didn't say a word. So I'm glad to see him catching up.
Thank you, Rick, for joining us today. Hope things are warm in D.C. I know that they are still very cold here and very icy, but thank you for joining us today. And folks, when we get back, we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Logan will be joining us again as we go through those. But once again, what do you think about this? What do you think about now? The Trump administration almost offering the olive branch to these leaders of sitting down by changing some leadership to try and lower the temperature a little bit. We have seen now two Americans that have been killed because of this chaos. You probably do not agree with the politics of those people that were killed. You may not agree with their tactics, but I think that everyone should be concerned or at least saddened that loss of human life, of American life, is going on because of the chaos that is unfolding in Minnesota. The federal government and the president, the president ran on getting illegal immigration under control and deporting those that have been able to skirt the law for so many years because of the failed policies of the Biden administration. We know that the left is going to resist anything that President Trump tries to do. But the way that the citizenry was weaponized by people in authority was shocking. And it got to a point where two people lost their lives, whether they were true believers or whether they were caught up in what the governor and the leaders were pushing there. It doesn't matter to some degree. To some degree, you still have to see that those in authority have a responsibility to take care of their citizens and not put them on purpose in harm's way. We will come back with more on Seculo. Be right back.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo, final segment of the broadcast today, and I am joined again by Logan Seculo, who is remote today, and we're going to go right to the phone calls because we have gotten our phone lines open. So let's go to Michael calling on line two from Florida. Michael, you're on Seculo.
Gentlemen, I just want to compliment President Trump in the fact that he is, as in his own words said, he's shaking things up a bit. Not that he necessarily thinks that, you know, the former is not doing a great job, but that, you know, he just wants to put in a new forward person, Mr. Holden, in that spot. But secondly, I also want to give some, you know, credence to Governor Waltz in the fact that he has come to the table. He's, in my opinion, in kind of the middle, because I think that he knows, in my opinion, that there is an impending accusation of huge fraud in that state. So as opposed to furthering the, you know, situation of violence or whatever that they've tried to do, he's kind of had this come to truth moment.
Yeah. And Michael, once again, you mentioned to the call screener, he's kind of a lame duck governor at this point because of the fact he's not running for reelection. It's just he is up again, or rather the governorship is up this term. We've seen that Amy Klobuchar, the senator from Minnesota, has already announced that she will be seeking that nomination to be the Democrat in that race. And yeah, Logan, to this point, like, to some degree, it felt like they escalated the ICE thing so aggressively from their side because of all the fraud allegations and how poorly run the state was. So then all of a sudden you see how organized their protest movement is, but yet their government wasn't organized enough to keep fraud in check.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota has been a topic of interest, I feel like, for us for now a number of years. But really, over the last month or so, it has been a discussion point, whether that was ICE, whether that was fraud. Of course, you can go back years to the George Floyd death that then led to the city burning. I mean, there's been so much that's happened in Minnesota over the last handful of years that really kind of has to reframe everything. But yeah, we were talking about Minnesota in terms of the fraud situation for what just felt like days. And then all of a sudden, you know, it all broke out over the ICE situation. So Minnesota became sort of the center of all conversations, which is crazy that this would happen. I do think that our caller is at least partially right. I think they can read the tea leaves a little. They can see where America people are on. They know they need to get together. They need to talk this through. They need to have some sort of cooperation. And yeah, you may be right that Tim Walz sees the fraud aspect and going, well, this is a great, not only distraction, this could be a great way to become a little bit more buddies with President Trump and see where that goes from. I actually start to believe a little bit other ways, which is, where does Tim Walz go from here? If he just announced that he is not going to seek reelection, and then he becomes somewhat of a superstar to the left right after that, where do you go?
Maybe he runs for Amy Klobuchar's seat, which will be vacant shortly in the Senate.
Maybe he runs for president of the United States. We will see, because that is only a couple of years away from when you really have to get that going. And I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a rock star Tim Walz emerge, who is still more appealing to a lot of people than a Gavin Newsom, because remember the whole, oh, shucks, you know, kind of a personality they put on him, they'll slap that right back on him. And all of a sudden, though, he's that, but he's someone who was able to get control of his situation. I don't know if that's at all in the cards, but I certainly think there are people whispering as you're saying so. But I know we got other calls.
Yeah, Logan, I think that you're going to try to get people riled up in the chat by saying rock star and Tim Walz. Those words have never been uttered in the same sentence before. But let's go ahead and go to Cheryl in Colorado. She's got a little bit of a different perspective than some of our other callers maybe. But Cheryl, go ahead and you're on Seculo.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Yes, I do have a different perspective than what I've been hearing on the radio. I am 80 years old. I'm a lifelong Republican. I voted for Trump all three times, not particularly because I am a big Trump star fan, but because I believe in the Republican platform.
Sure.
I've never regretted my vote more than what I do right now. Mm. I've become very vocal locally here with my representatives, particularly about the ICE. Now, and the immigrant situation. The Bible tells us that we are to welcome our travelers and our sojourners, and we are to love our brothers as ourselves, and we are our brothers' keepers. Now, do I like the fact that millions of immigrants came across the borders illegally through the Biden administration? No, but they're here. And we need to take care of them.
Cheryl, I'm just jumping in here because we only have a few minutes left, but I hear what you're saying. And I think, one, you are representative of a lot of people right now. And yes, I think I do want to be careful that America's not a theocracy. So the government operating by scripture, I don't think is necessarily the correct or accurate way that our government should operate. They should operate by the text of the Constitution and the laws of the land. On the counterpoint to that, yes, I understand there are many great Christian organizations that are specifically reach out to immigrant communities. But the American government does still have the job and the role to protect the sovereignty of the United States and to uphold the laws. Now, what you are saying is reflected. A lot of people even started to turn against the language coming out of the administration when you saw Kash Patel, you saw the director of DHS, Kristi Noem, say things like, well, it could be justified if you show up to a protest armed. And that goes directly against what a lot of proud pro-Second Amendment supporters have been fighting against for so many years. This has gotten to be a very messy situation where I think also, Logan, the Trump administration, we got about a minute and a half left, has said, we also need to come to the table here.
Yeah, I think that they are very well aware that this is happening. When you have conservative groups and Christian groups start to turn on you and your President Trump, we're not talking about sort of the moderate, more liberal ones. We're talking about groups that have been historically on your side saying this has gone too far. And I think a lot of our listeners probably do back up what that caller just spoke to, which, of course, there is a side that we were all raised in to support and help our immigrant friends, our immigrant families. They are here. We call for comprehensive immigration reform for decades that did not involve mass deportation, except for those who are criminal. And I think that there's still a path that way. It doesn't seem like that's where the American people really want to go right now. But maybe this will be a wake-up call and a change. I do think, though, as Will said, we don't operate in a theocracy, but I do think personally, you can have a lot of feelings that way. Right. You should be expressing your Christian faith however you feel is appropriate to Scripture. It should influence how you vote. It should influence who you support, how you support it. It may not always influence the law of the land from a scriptural point of view, but if we believe in the morality side of the Bible, we do live in the morality side of Christianity, then of course it could influence it, because look at the Ten Commandments that are on the side of the Supreme Court of the United States. That's something we've been fighting for forever, because there are some basic truths that we all should kind of be getting around, and a lot of it has to do with people's religious beliefs. Now, I know we're wrapping up. We only got 15 seconds. I want you to support the work of the ACLJ right now if you can. Go to aclj.org. is really important. We're going to be trying to be back tomorrow. Of course, thank you for dealing with our issues. Thank you for dealing with all the technical problems. I'll be in studio as soon as I can. Talk to you next time.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.